This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The state Senate presents its budget proposal today. The plan offers higher pay for teachers and other state employees. Question is, how will they pay for it? And a bill in the Senate proposes tuition decreases at five state universities. Critics say the measure would weaken the state's historically black colleges and universities. Meanwhile, the controversy over HB 2 continues. Businesses large and small are feeling the effects of the law. Several of them are rallying in Raleigh today to continue their calls for repeal. WUNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia has been covering these topics and joins us now. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with the Senate budget proposal. Came out last night. We didn't have the full details, but what do we know so far?
Well, right now, the big picture that the Senate leadership is highlighting is that they are being very modest and very responsible in only growing the state budget only modestly. At the same time, they want to cut income taxes. They're saying that it's going mostly for the middle class. And they are also proposing a big, what they say is a significant pay increase for public school teachers. So that's the big picture of what we're looking at right now. Where some of that money is going to come from, many of us are still trying to figure it out.
All right. Well, how is it different from the House proposal?
Yeah, so it's very important to know right now that what we're looking at is a snapshot of this entire process of writing a spending plan for the state of North Carolina, more than $22 billion. The House and ultimately the Senate and the House are going to have to agree on their plan. Now, the House of Representatives, the one big thing that is different is that they're proposing a just across the board increase for state employees. State employees, as you know, for many years now have only seen one time bonuses, whereas right now the Senate wants to propose only just some sort of pay raises in some places. And the other big – sorry.
Yeah, I know, and we'll take a look at some of those places. And actually, while you're checking on your notes, I want to ask you, too, about those pay raises, because you did mention teacher pay raises and where they occur, kind of where in the teacher's career they're going to be focused is one of the issues. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, are you talking about with the House or with the Senate?
What
the Senate is saying is that they want to – I mean, what they're proposing is something that's really dramatic, which is that they say they want to increase average teacher pay over the next years to $55,000 a year, and that they want to get teachers to the top of the pay scale much more quickly to 15 in the first 15 years that they're serving. Now, the thing is that that's a lot of money. I mean, this is something that could cost $500 million a year, and it's still not clear where exactly that money is going to come from. Now, some of my reporting colleagues and I have asked the Senate leadership if there are big cuts somewhere else. And that was actually a specific question that was asked to Senate Leader Phil Berger and Harry Brown, who's his appropriations chair. And they took the question with some levity, and they asked almost rhetorically, well, define what a cut is.
I see. So we can expect some budget cuts probably in order to pay for this. I mean, obviously, you can't go out to your money tree, although there is some increased revenue. Well, there's more money coming into the state treasury. So there are a few extra dollars to play with. Question is whether they will cover the total number of increases that the Senate is asking for. If not, where do the cuts come? We'll have to wait and see. That's stay tuned, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Phil Berger is pointing to. He's saying that, you know what, I mean, some of this is because he's pointing to responsible policies, tax cuts that he's saying is helping more money circulate in the economy, states receiving more money. That's where some of this money is going to come from. But at the same time is that, I mean, what probably is also happening is that there are some services there is a separate bill in the Senate, not with the budget, but that seeks to only clarify, they say, what are some of the services that the state is going to tax. But in this clarification, simply there are more services that everybody's going to have to pay for. And nonpartisan fiscal analysts in the General Assembly estimate that that would represent an additional $140 million that the state would receive. So far we don't know if there are big cuts somewhere in the state budget. There are other areas that are going to be taxed further.
All right, we'll have to keep our eyes on the details as things move forward in this session of the General Assembly. Meanwhile, there's a measure in the Senate to address tuition at higher education institutions. Tell us about Senate Bill 873.
Yeah, this is a very interesting provision because there are sort of two opposing sides of it, and they are on the opposite side of where you would expect them to be in this issue. Now, the proposal comes from Senator Tom Apodaca. He's a retiring member, so he's not running for re-election. He's a top-ranking Republican from the mountains, and he is seeking to significantly reduce tuition at five universities in the university system. Three of them are HBCUs: Elizabeth City, Fayetteville State, Winston-Salem State. One of them is HBCU, of course, historically Black college and university. One of them is a historically American Indian university, UNC Pembroke. And one is a university that has long served mostly people from lower economic incomes, Western Carolina University. So he is suggesting reducing the tuition significantly there, down to $500 per semester for in-state students. Now, he is also proposing, because suddenly those universities aren't going to get all of this money, setting aside $70 million to give to those universities. The way that he's presenting it is that they want to increase enrollment in those universities, and reducing tuition will help that. Now, on the other hand, you have students from historically Black colleges and universities who are here in Raleigh today who are not happy with this because they are concerned for two things. One of them, they're concerned that this has taken away the ability of these universities to collect this revenue, and it's not guaranteeing that these $70 million or however much is needed in the future will continue to be received. So they are concerned about the future of these colleges and universities. And then second to that, they also some people say paradoxically, actually, Senate Leader Phil Burgess says for him it's a paradox, that he sees that some of these students are saying that this also cheapens, if you will, the diploma that people are getting from these universities.
All right. So we'll have to watch that going forward. And some of the suspicion around this is Tom Apodaca, of course, the sponsor of this tuition cut, is also one of the chief sponsors of the voter ID bill. And that has led to some speculation about his credibility in whether or not he wants to hurt. So that's sort of some of the political fireworks that surround this particular
initiative. And I think it's also worth taking into account that Senator Apodaca is not running for re-election. Mm. And very often when people are not running for re-election, they are more willing to support measures that are perhaps a little bit more abrasive, if you will.
All right. House Bill 2, still in the headlines, calls for repeal, continue, and grow. There have been campaigns to try to repair the damage to the state's reputation. First of all, tell us about the rebranding efforts.
Well, the rebranding efforts, this is something that I've done some research on. The rebranding efforts is something that has sort of been spearheaded by many small businesses. There's a small marketing shop in Carrboro called New Media Campaigns. They created this logo that they're letting anybody download for free. They're also giving away stickers to any businesses that asks for them that says everyone is welcome here. And, of course, there are other businesses that have sort of done this on their own. Some have painted murals outside of their exterior of their walls. But the main thing is that they're saying is that they feel that being associated with HB2, particularly with companies that have clients and businesses outside of the state, hurts their brand because for some of them, their location, North Carolina, if you're in technology and you're in Durham or you're in RTP, being in North Carolina is part of your brand. So they are desperately seeking to disassociate themselves from that brand. And I just have two numbers I'm going to give you. One is an estimate that during the first month that after HB2 was signed, an estimate says that North Carolina received $31 million in worth of coverage about HB2. You might imagine it's probably not very favorable. And that amounts to the second number, which is 38 billion with a B views. So these are small business owners who are just taking it into their own account, and they're saying, well, we want to try to counter this because it's not really helping us.
Obviously, the University of North Carolina system very concerned about what a regressive policy like this means to an institutions of higher education. Margaret Spelling says we're not going to enforce it. Interesting politics there. I don't know if you've heard any fallout on Jones Street about Margaret Spelling's refusal to actually carry out the law or enforce the law.
Well, you know, Margaret Spellings, the president of the university system, is in, as she has said from the very beginning, she is in a tough spot because she is between the General Assembly, which ultimately has oversight over the university system, And then also the federal government, which through the Justice Department has threatened to take away billions of dollars in funding from the university. So she's trying she has to please everybody because they're very important actors in the university. Now, what kind of reaction people here at the General Assembly, which recently appointed Margaret Spellings, are having, is probably all happening behind closed doors right now.
All right. Small business leaders gathered today to oppose HB2, right?
Yes, that's right. So the Human Rights Campaign is helping them with their effort, and there are more groups, like we were talking about a moment ago, who are continuing to say HB2 is not only, in their opinion, bad policy, it's also bad for business.
All right, Jorge Valencia, WUNC's Capitol Reporter. Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the history of pit bulls. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.